From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Millions in Texas remain without power for several days now after a massive winter storm dumped snow over the state and triggered power outages. With more snow coming, Texans are being pushed to breaking point. And their governor wants you to know that it's the fault of wind turbines. And it's proof that a Green New Deal would be deadly. Governor Greg Abbott earlier this year vowed that he would protect the oil and gas industry from any type of hostile attack from Washington. And he seems to have little responsibility to protect Texans from oil and gas. Another Texas Republican elected to office, Tim Boyd, just resigned from his position as mayor of Colorado City after insisting that the government had no responsibility to protect, and those struggling with that electricity and water were just too lazy to make arrangements for their families. We go now to Austin, Texas, to speak with Duncan Meisel, campaign director for Clean Creatives, a campaign that's taking on the fossil fuel industry's PR and advertising machine. He was previously a communications advisor to the Sunrise Movement and a lead digital campaigner for 350.org. He's co-author with Jamie Henn of a new article in The Independent called "Why on Earth Would Right-Wing People with Connections to the Fossil Fuel Industry Lie About Frozen Wind Turbines in Texas?" Welcome to the program, Duncan.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Before we get to the claims of frozen wind turbines, why are there power outages all across Texas? Here in California, where I am based, many of us are looking at Texas and are reminded of the wildfires that plagued our state just, you know, some months ago last year. We have experience with power outages. It is absolutely not fun, and to do it in the middle of a pandemic is just terrifying. So why are there power outages to begin with?
So what we're dealing with right now in Texas is the result of decades of underinvestment in the public power grid and an over-reliance on fossil fuels. When this winter storm hit, 30 gigawatts of gas-powered power plants in Texas went offline. And that was for a combination of reasons. The gas pipelines froze, many of them. The power plants were overwhelmed with ice. Some of them shut down because they didn't think they could make enough money based on the cost of gas. And so those power plants shut down. And as a result of people having to turn up their thermostats and to keep their houses warm, the power grid got overwhelmed. And right now, at its peak, 4 million people lost power in the middle of what was extremely cold temperatures, not just for Texas, but in general, in the 20s and in the 10s.
So why does the Texas grid, why is it the way it is? What are the decisions that regulators, that officials took to sort of maximize cheapness over reliability?
So in the 90s, Texas began a process of deregulating its power grid. And what that meant is that it created spaces by which corporations and large, ostensibly nonprofit organizations could take profit out of the process of generating and delivering power to Texans. At the same time, our leadership in Texas here, we actually don't have any rules that limit the size of campaign contributions that you can receive, have received literal million-dollar checks from fossil fuel industry executives to stand in the way of renewable energy standards that would have provided more reliable, more abundant clean energy to people in situations like this. I don't know if you've been to Texas, but two of the things—
I certainly have. I went to UT for 5 years.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, very nice to hear that. Go Horns. So two things we have in great abundance are sun and wind, and that's something that's available all over our state. The process of transporting and delivering natural gas power is complicated. It's dangerous. It breaks down. And when you have the systemic underinvestment because of people trying to take profits out of the process, then actually that system breaks down even faster. And that's really the root cause of what we're dealing with right now.
So essentially the opposite of what Governor Greg Abbott is claiming. Let's talk about where that lie originated. I understand it was in a conversation with Tucker Carlson on Fox News that Greg Abbott first raised this issue, but it had been the idea that frozen wind turbines were responsible for power outages in Texas had been circulating in the right-wing media ecosystem.
Yeah, so this was a lie that began circulating before it even got really that cold in Texas. This was something that started circulating on Sunday before any of the facts were in, and it's kept circulating. It's been amplified by all of Texans, statewide officials, and these are people, like I said, who have taken, Greg Abbott has taken $1.6 million from his top donor, which is a CEO of Midland Energy, which pumps gas out of the ground. He is absolutely in his interest to continue having Texas rely on fossil fuels at the moment we could be and should be transitioning away to renewables. So really, the lie here is essentially the opposite of anything that's come out of Greg Abbott's mouth on this, is what you should believe. He is deeply incentivized to say the wrong thing here, and he is.
So he literally said earlier this year, as Joe Biden was being inaugurated, when he, I suppose, saw Biden as a threat to his fossil fuel agenda, he said, and this was quoted in a Reuters article, Texas will protect the oil and gas industry from any type of hostile attack from Washington. It was quite remarkable to see this very open embrace that an elected official is talking about protecting an industry, a lucrative industry and a destructive industry. And sort of one has to wonder what he's doing to protect Texans from that same industry. He's not even trying to hide that he's in their pocket.
Yeah, the thing that Greg Abbott should be focusing on is protecting Texans from the impact of climate disasters, which have taken an enormous toll on this state. People in Houston have repeatedly had to deal with record-breaking storms that are flooding their homes, that are shutting down businesses, and making it impossible to live in parts of the city that otherwise people could afford to live in. And the storm that we're dealing with right now is actually the product of climate change. It's sort of counterintuitive because we talk about global warming, but what's happening right now is that the Arctic is so hot, it is pushing these masses of cold air further and further down into the United States. And what we're experiencing now is only happening now, and it's a record-breaking event because of climate change. And so what Greg Abbott should be focusing on is actually protecting the lives of Texans rather than protecting his political donors, which clearly is his priority right now.
I mean, certainly it seems unheard of to hear of that much snow in a state like Texas. Scenes from Texas look like they're, you know, out of New Jersey or Maine or New England. It would be like seeing, you know, downtown LA covered in a blanket of snow 6 inches thick, quite difficult to imagine, but very likely to be even our future here in Southern California if climate change continues unmitigated. So you have, of course, in addition to the traditional Texas Republicans making these claims about wind turbines, you have the Wall Street Journal. I don't know if you saw, the Wall Street Journal had an op-ed on the 15th of February, on Monday, called "A Deep Green Freeze, Power Shortages Show the Folly of Eliminating Natural Gas and Coal." And it repeated this idea that the wind turbines are to blame and said that coal and nuclear are the most reliable sources of power. So what do you make of this? I mean, obviously the Wall Street Journal is very much a pro-Wall Street, pro-capitalist, pro-free market, and pro-fossil fuel outlet.
Yeah, the exact moment that the Wall Street Journal pressed publish on that article, 40% of Texas's natural gas generators were literally frozen in place and not delivering power to Texans. So to call this a problem of clean energy is deeply absurd. And at the moment that they published that op-ed, Texas's wind power was actually generating above expectation, as was our solar generation. We were not just meeting expectations, we were exceeding that with clean energy. And that's the energy that everybody needs. If I had a solar panel on my roof, I wouldn't need to wait for my utility to go back, fix their gas generator, fix the lines. I could get the power directly from the sun whenever it was shining. So really the solutions here are something like a Green New Deal that would put in place more resiliency into our electrical grid, offer people more locally generated power that is actually going to be more resistant to this kind of statewide disaster. And really the facts just, it's totally divorced from reality. The headline, the substance of that article, it has no relationship to what was actually happening in Texas at the moment.
I don't know how much it's getting traction in Texas itself, considering everything that you have to deal with right now, but the words of Colorado City Mayor Tim Boyd are certainly reverberating outside. It's sort of shocking, this lengthy diatribe that he published on Facebook, then he took it down, then he resigned. But just to quote a little bit, because it's quite lengthy, he just started out straight up saying to his residents of his city, no one owes you and your family anything, nor is it the local government's responsibility to support you during trying times like this. Sink or swim, it's your choice. The city and county, along with power providers or any other service, owes you nothing. I'm sick and tired of people looking for a damn handout. I mean, goes on and on. And of course, this fear of a socialist government, and, you know, it literally tells people, if you can't have water, deal without. Is this, I mean, in this, in the face of Texans that are sort of growing in a more liberal direction, I understand a majority of Texans believe climate change is real even before, you know, this horrific winter storm. I imagine that this was quite a tone-deaf argument.
Yeah, there's several things to say about that. I mean, one is that political leadership in Texas has a long history of using arguments like this to divide Texans along the lines of race in particular. And what we're experiencing right now with these blackouts is another example of how these kinds of impacts can be felt unequally. So a lot of the criteria by which Texas decided which parts of which cities to shut down when had to come down to what they decided were, quote, essential services. And it probably wouldn't surprise you to find that what was deemed essential had a strong association with people who were in whiter, more affluent neighborhoods. And so, you know, when he's saying these things, you have to keep in mind that most of the people disproportionately who are having their power turned off, who are literally in the dark freezing, are also people who are more likely to be black and brown. And so it doesn't surprise me that he made that argument. I think, you know, Texans are experiencing the effects of climate change every single day. And if there's anything we expect our government to do, even in the most libertarian mindset, is to provide the essentials that keep people alive and keep them well. And I think his perspective is very far out of the mainstream now. And I think you'll increasingly see Texans, because of their experience of climate change, ask their government to do more when it comes to building a resilient, renewable powered grid.
He used, just to stay on that for a minute, Mr. Boyd, former mayor of Colorado City, Texas, said, if you're sitting at home in the cold because you have no power and are sitting there waiting for someone to come rescue you because you're lazy, it's a direct result of your raising, I think he meant upbringing, which, and that is, of course, very much a standard line of rhetoric that we hear from right-wing conservative politicians aimed at people of color, in particular, your poor because it's your fault, because you're too lazy. Just quite remarkable to see that. And we also saw the Washington Post that pointed out that black and brown communities had their power turned off earlier and are disproportionately impacted. And unfortunately, people, experts expect that they will have their power restored the latest as well, and that it will take a lot longer. People are dying, Duncan. How serious is the situation? I have friends still in Texas. Those who are lucky enough to have a fireplace in their home are okay. Others, there have been people who have died because of carbon monoxide poisoning because they've left their car engine running to stay warm.
It's hard to put into words. I mean, it's unbelievably stressful. It is a humanitarian disaster. It's a complete failure of government. I've honestly never seen anything like this in my entire life. People cannot leave their homes because there is so much ice on the ground. There was no preparation put in place for this. There was none. The Texas Department had been responsible for emergency response, had no plan for this, zero. There were no warming shelters set up ahead of time. There was no food delivery ahead of time. There was no making sure that people were prepared with water or other essentials. I mean, it is a comprehensive failure of planning. And, you know, every single night since Sunday, people have been going to sleep wondering if they're going to wake up freezing in the dark, even if you had power. And those without power have been going to sleep thinking that they're going to get it tomorrow, and it's just not happened. And it is extremely stressful, even if you are lucky enough to be hooked up to the grid still and warm. And if you're not, it is life-threatening. And so I've never seen anything like this. It is truly a catastrophe, and no responsibility was taken on the part of our leadership, none at all.
there are, because of the icy roads, it's hard for supermarkets to replenish their inventory. Supermarket shelves are being emptied out, and of course those who have access to supermarkets are having to walk there because it's too dangerous to drive. It's quite remarkable. And this is the sort of scenario that, of course, results in that libertarian ideal completely breaking down. This idea that, no one owes you anything, when, of course, you do pay taxes to your government for precisely that, for precisely the job of providing you with necessities, using your money to ensure that you have the basic necessities, but that Republican libertarian mindset, if you're on your own, that social Darwinism utterly breaks down. And this is likely a preview, right, of what is to come, not just for Texas, but possibly many parts of the country and the world.
This is what happened when you have leadership that doesn't want to take responsibility for supporting everybody's lives. And it is... I hope it's not a preview. I hope this is also an inspiration for people to come together and demand better. I know pretty much everyone I know in Texas is furious, and they should be. This is a total disaster of leadership. And I hope it's an opportunity for people to come together and demand better. Our political leaders who are taking millions of dollars from fossil fuel industry are not representing us. And it's honestly time for them to go. Like, they do not belong in office if this is the result of their work.
And I imagine that what needs to come out of this at this point needs to be a greater reliance on green energy, not less, right? I mean, certainly wind turbines can freeze if they are not winterized, if they're not properly treated for the expectation of harsh winter conditions, because there are plenty of parts of the world that experience freezing temperatures and successfully run wind turbines. And so a greater reliance on wind and solar energy is actually precisely the solution that is needed for a more resilient electrical grid, right?
That's right. There are wind turbines that power scientific stations at the South Pole. There's no reason that a wind turbine can't work in the cold if you have proper preparation. Like I said, this was an exceptional event. This is the kind of storm that has not happened before, and it hasn't happened before because of climate change. And a renewable grid is a resilient one, one that has multiple sources of power generation that occur everywhere, that's on top of your home, that's in your neighborhood. That's the type of grid that keeps the power on. And that's the kind of thing that would actually get Texas through this kind of disaster if we did not have to be getting all of our power piped in from these natural gas plants that shut down. So a renewable grid is actually something that would perform much better in these kinds of storms. You might notice that when a storm happens, a lot of wind blows. So it can actually be a great solution to this problem, and the kind of investment that would pay dividends in terms of cleaning up our air and also protecting our climate.
And then Texas's electricity grid, the acronym is ERCOT, I forget what it stands for, but this is, it's one of the few that's not under, I believe the only one in the country that's not under federal jurisdiction. This was something that Texas did in order to avoid federal regulation and, by the same token, federal help. Do you think that this is the kind of thing that's going to be under consideration to change that and bring in federal jurisdiction in the future?
It could be that ERCOT continues to play a positive role in Texas's energy future.
The Electric Reliability Council of Texas, that's what.
Yes, reliability. Very great words. We'd like to have some of that right now. Mm. It could be that ERCOT plays a positive role. I don't know. I think the real challenge is, there is also the Public Utility Commission of Texas, whose responsibility is for setting the rules that ERCOT follows and also has oversight over ERCOT and all other utilities. And they haven't done their job. They're all appointed by the governor. The governor has oversight over them. And as far as I can tell, these people were sitting on their hands for the last week when we knew the storm was coming. So there's a lot of people who bear a lot of different kinds of responsibility. I think ERCOT is one of them, but it could be that, the kind of grid that Texas has, which is somewhat isolated from the rest of the United States, could be the right answer for Texas. That could very well be true. We do say it's enough like another country here, but what really needs to happen is there needs to be serious public investment in renewable infrastructure, in resiliency infrastructure, in batteries, things that would keep the lights on in the context of future climate disasters, which are coming, and also responsibility taken by the governor and by the Public Utility Commission to basically stop repeating the lies and start investing in what's going to work.
Finally, Duncan, do you think the Texans will see through the PR campaigns of the fossil fuel industry and their, you know, the politicians that they command through their massive contributions? I mean, this is an industry with so much money and a history of using, you know, propaganda and slick marketing materials to foster denialism of climate change. But of course, today, Texans are experiencing firsthand, you know, the unusual impacts of climate change. Those people who've lived there for many years know that it is unprecedented in their lifetimes to see such a winter storm. And I imagine it'll be much harder to pull the wool over their eyes.
The thing to remember about Texas is a young state. And by that, I mean that by the next election cycle, we're going to have more and more people, young people in their 20s and their teens, who making up a bigger and bigger proportion of the electorate. And those young people see directly through this. They live their entire lives with the threat of climate change. They understand that we need to make the transition. And those young people really are going to have a lot of power, a growing amount of power. And I think are in particular furious because they see the potential that could come from investments in renewable energy. They understand that it could be part of their future. And to see our much older, much richer, and much whiter leadership dragging their feet on this, I think is a huge disappointment to them. And I think they're going to really make their voices heard.
Where can people find out more about the work that you do?
So I am the campaign director for a campaign called Clean Creatives, which is trying to get public relations and advertising agencies to stop working with fossil fuel corporations. The place to find out about our work is cleancreatives.org. And we invite public communicators to join our pledge and help create a shift within the industry so that we can cut off these kinds of dirty talking points at the source.
We'll post a link to that from our website. Duncan, thanks so much and good luck to you.
Thank you.
My guest has been Duncan Meisel, campaign director for Clean Creatives, and he was previously a communications advisor to the Sunrise Movement and lead digital campaigner for 350.org. His latest piece that he's co-authored with Jamie Henn in The Independent is called "Why on Earth Would Right-Wing People with Connections to the Fossil Fuel Industry Lie About Frozen Wind Turbines in Texas?" I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.